Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 3 through 5. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function. So in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. May God add blessings to the reading of His Word.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a Lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost the way. Oh, we hopelessly lost the way. Is in you. desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you.
Is your desire, isn't it? To take all our lives and to be used by God so that we would be a blessing to others. That's the way that God has wired us that way. Then we would experience the fulfillment of His purpose in our life. That is our desire. We would like to welcome our guests. In front of you, there's a pew inside a slot that shows a connect card. Our guests, we would love for you to fill it out and put it on the offering plate. We want to be connected to you. And then for those of our members, if you need a special prayer request or special need that you may have, also you can fill that out. And we will pray for you. And I will call you. And if there's a visitation that you need, I would love to visit you. And so those are the cards. If you will fill those out for us, we would greatly appreciate it. Tomorrow is our day that we're going to start our 40 days of prayer. Actually, 40 days of prayer and fasting. Not that all of us are fasting all 40 days, but as you probably noticed that we had a sign-up sheet that we wanted an individual to fast at least once throughout this 40 days, and we had a sign-up sheet, and a lot of you have filled, but there's four slots still that you need to sign up. And for the rest of us who haven't signed up for food fasting, but maybe this will be an opportunity for us for 40 days to fast in other areas of our life. Sometimes we're so caught up with so hectic schedule, maybe perhaps not to use the internet beside the just checking your mails, but not to wait to surf the web, or perhaps some of you can say that perhaps when music or whatever that may be that God has impressed upon you not to do for that particular activity. But and then also you probably saw this in, and each day we have specific ministry that we would like as a church to pray for. And for tomorrow, it's the beginner Sabbath school class. And the whole purpose of having this 40 days of prayer was that we would be external focused church. In other words, we exist to serving others. Amen? And we want to be the church that God wants us to be. We want to feel what God feels, and we want to see what God sees of the lost people. And that's what we're praying for. And probably after this, you'll probably forget, like I would forget. And so we've decided as a church that we're going to provide a book for you, 40 Days of Prayer, of a devotional book. It's 40 Days of Community, which talks about how to have a good relationship with our families and to have a relationship with others for each day. And At the back of each chapter, it's only like 2 pages, about 5 minutes reading, and then you could also journal your reading and your walk. And so this book will be in the back for you. For it's one book per household. And then we also have to remind us of this 40 days of for Sabbath school starting next week, our young adults and career Sabbath school class. They're having a Sabbath school class, a workbook, if you'd like to join. And then for 11 o'clock service, I'm going to attempt, and we're going to have guest speakers who will preach on the importance of reaching out to the community. And then also what we're going to do is during the intercessory prayer and for main service, for starting next week, we're going to invite all the ministry that we've been praying throughout the week. We want them to come, the leaders to come, so that we could have a special prayer for you. Amen. We recognize, no matter how talented we are or how gifted we are or how much we do have or don't have, unless the Lord breathes into this church the breath of life, there is no life. You know that, right? And what we're asking is that God will breathe into all the ministry and all the people in the church the breath of life, that we would long to fulfill the desire that he has for us as a church. So this morning, I want to share with you a focus of why do we need each other? I have this question with a title, and are you familiar with this baby picture? It used to be popular in 1995. In October 17, a Jackson family gave birth to two twin daughters. But they were born a little bit too early, 12 weeks early. So it was a preemie. And one baby, Carrie Ann, waited. Carrie Ann, but it's Carrie, weighed 3 pounds and, no, I'm sorry, 2 pounds and 3 ounces. And her sister weighed only 2 pounds. And so they put both of them in an incubator and of course, trying to take care of this baby and to nurture. And after a month, Brielle started failing. It was a critical condition. Her thin legs and arms were turning kind of bluish, blackish. Arms and doctors tried to do things, but they couldn't do much for it. And so the nurse thought of this idea. A nurse really was never really practiced, but asked her parents, the daughter's parents, and asked if they can put the baby together in one incubator. And after doing it, there was a drastic change on Brielle's health. In matter of fact, Carrie kind of snowed in close. And the story went that the baby both lived and survived. And you may be thinking, well, you know, that's a nice story, but I just don't need people. I am very independent. In matter of fact, our society, even our Declaration of Independence says we don't need some people around us. But we do. We do need each other. Here's a video clip that I want you to see about how we need each other.
There are some things in life you can't do alone, like have a party, wrestle, have a sack race.
Step aside, fools, I got this. Okay, I have it. Yeah.
Play Marco Polo.
Marco. Fish out of water.
Ride a teeter-totter. Get engaged.
Will you marry me?
Yes!
Move a heavy, awkward piece of furniture.
Finger! Too slow, too slow, too slow!
Or water ski. Something should not be attempted. Without the help of others. Your spiritual journey is one of them. When it comes to that, we're definitely better together.
I guess now we can go home. You got the message, right? But let me just share four reasons why that God says that we need each other. The first reason that we need each other is that we need each other to walk with us in this journey. This journey of ours on this earth is too hard for us to walk alone. Did you notice that? And the Bible focuses on it, that it says to walk with Jesus. And in other words, when we're taking steps, we're on this journey in life. And so the Bible keeps saying, you know, you need to walk in wisdom, to walk in love, to walk in light, to walk in obedience, to walk in spirit, to walk with Jesus. But one of the key ways that when we walk this earth is that you can't walk alone. In a Zambian Proverbs says that a man who runs alone can run fast, right? But when you run together, you run farther. Because you see, in our journey, it feels like a marathon, doesn't it? It's not a quick 50-yard dash. But there's things in our life and that God has placed us and that places people in our life that He wants us to walk with each other and to support each other. And some of you said, well, you know, God has created us to walk with each other, but I'm single. It doesn't matter if you're single or married. What God wants us to do is for you to be part of a community of believers to walk with each other. Because you see, you can still be married and still feel lonely. And the solution that God has for us is to be a community where we can walk together. So the first point I wanted to make it across is the community is God's place, God's answer to loneliness in our life. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16 says these words, from Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We need each other. You know, we have heard so much throughout several months about this gun control. I think we're focusing on the symptom, but the core issue of it is when people feel isolated from the other community of people. That's where it starts, doesn't it? This antisocial behavior comes when we are alone. Second reason I believe that we need each other is that we need to work with each other. In other words, I need people to work with me. Because you see, God has given us different personality, different gifts, and He wants us to work together as a community. And what happens is when sometimes we step back and watch others work, and they get exhausted, they get tired. So if you're not involved in service or in ministry, it's taking the toll on someone else. Does that make sense? Because you see, God wants all of us to be ministers. In other words, to be in a ministry to serve others. And God wants us for you to be involved, to work with each other. And here's a verse. Two are better than one because they have a what? Have a reward, good reward for their labor. But you're thinking, you know, I really am not much of anything. I don't have the gifts like so-and-so. But guess what? You are important because God created you uniquely and He wants to be alone. Kind of reminds me of a snowflake. You know, when you look at snowflakes, they're very fragile, but when these snowflakes gather together and kind of pile up together, guess what? They're strong enough to close the USA government, isn't it? And we've experienced that. But it's those little individual snowflakes got together. And I'm wondering if we as a church got together and each of us packed together, I'm wondering what kind of effect that we would have in the service of our church, in the ministry of our church, and also to the community. And that's what we want to pray about. Amen. So God's community is God's answer to loneliness. And also the second one, the point is fatigue. Because God doesn't want us, any one of us, to be burnt out. We need each other. The third reason why we need each other is because we need to watch out for each other. We need to take care of each other. We need to defend each other. Do you watch out for others in the church, in the fellow believer communities? If someone says something about that individual, do you say, well, that isn't so? And set the tone a little bit different. Scripture says a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but the two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not what? Not easily broken. In other words, I need people, you need people who will defend and stand for you and protect you, who's going to be there to help you in this journey of walk in life. There's a saying that I'll watch your back, right? Not only will they watch your back, but Will someone watch your front too? You know, one of the things that is a really embarrassing thing for anybody is to have their zipper down. Have you ever, anybody, oh no, I won't ask you that. But when an individual have zipper down, it's when you do care for that individual that you're willing to say, by the way, your zipper is down. Oh, okay. Because the only people that really will be willing to say that are the people that who care for. Because the total strangers at times, you let them make fool out of themselves. So we need each other to defend each other, to watch our back. When I was pastoring in my other district, there was a tough decision that I felt that I needed to make. And people did not like the decision that I've made. And there was a little bit of resistance there. And probably as I look back, maybe my method could have been a little bit different. You know how that is when you look behind, you say, oh, I should have done this. But at that time, when I made that decision, I made it. And there was stress involved in it. And it seems at times Christians are the most critical individuals. Have you noticed that sometimes? Have you? Well, the question is, are you? And so I was going through this stress moment because I knew that I needed as a pastor, as a senior pastor, I needed to set the boundaries of ministries and things. And so people didn't understand it or didn't want to understand it, but there was an individual who understood where I was coming from. And he said to me, CJ, I know and I understand why you've made the decision. I am going to watch your back. A lot of people who had some tension. And so what happens was they went to Dave and Dave reflected all the stress that would cause in my life. And I don't know if it wasn't for Dave that I would still be in ministry. And probably there are individuals in your life who came to right time in your moment of giving up, who says, I am watching your back. I am willing to overlook your faults. We need each other. Amen? We need to watch other people, but we also need to be strong enough to love them enough. The things that you're doing is harming you. Not only you, but also harming your family. Do you have people like that who cares enough for your eternal salvation that they're willing to say, I care enough. And I'm talking about out of love. There are individuals, there are those individuals who like to hammer everybody. And I'm not talking about those individuals. Do you understand what I'm saying? Individual who says, I have this gift of confrontation. And they call it a gift. What I'm talking about is because you love them so much, you pour out your heart to them and you pour out your pray for that individual. You want their, you have their best interest. And you go, I need friends like that. Don't you? We need sometimes for the other person to say, hey, your zipper is down. You know, Whenever we go away on vacation or a weekend, we have a neighbor. Whenever he goes away, he says, "Hey, CJ, I'm going on vacation. Can you watch my home?" And so, you know, we make sure no strange truck is parked outside of his house. And so I hope he does that for me too. We watch other people's stuff. What's more important than stuff? It's the eternal salvation of those individuals. So God created us and made us that we need each other. So here it is. Community is God's answers to loneliness. Community is God's answer to being fatigued. And the third point that I just made across is community is God's answer to defeat in our lives. And the last point that I want to get across is that I need you to wait for me. I need you not only to wait for me, but also to weep with me. Do you have friends like that? Are you surrounded in a community where you can say, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but can you stay with me to hear what doctors have to say? Can you wait with me? Do you have people like that? I want people like that around me, don't you? And as I was preparing this sermon, I was thinking, I want people to be that for me. But you know what? I've learned I need to be that person for others. Amen? Because you see, if I'm not reaching out to others, guess what? They're not reaching out to me. It starts with me. In other words, I need to be vulnerable to people. Right? But we like to hide things in our life. We like to say that everything is okay. But we know better. Everything is not okay. We all have failures. We do things. We say things. I was reminded of this individual. Do you know who this is? This is Mike Rice. When I start seeing, throughout the week, the media really tightened in. The first response when I saw that, I was thinking to myself, how's that possible? And then I had to step back and says, if I was that person, so as I think about Mike Rice, and as I was preparing this sermon, I'm wondering if he has a sense, if he has a community of people around him that will still accept him. And in other words, if Mike Rice was our member of our church, would we welcome him and say, Mike, we love you? Where the media is tearing him down, would we? I hope so. I hope that our church will be in that safe place of just like a place where we can just, when people fall, that we would catch them. Amen? I want to belong to community. That when I fail, they'll still catch me. Amen? And as we pray for this community, as we try to reach them, I realize that we need to be that community first in our church. Amen? And it doesn't start with someone else. I know it's so easy. You know, I wish so-and-so would have done this and that for me. Guess what? It's you. I wish they would do this or that in ministry. Guess what? You need to be part of the ministry to change those things out of love for strengthening the church. Amen? Because you see, no matter how much we pray, as much as God wants us to be filled with the Spirit and to have the community, if we are not living the community in our church, in our homes, we're just fooling the people outside the church. We are. I could go around saying, I have a full hair. When I look myself in the mirror, I see a full hair. I do. I see a little bit on top because you see the reflection. I see the other day, as a matter of fact, you know, I got a haircut. And when I go to this barber, this Korean lady still barber. Remember I told you, no matter how much you tell her to just trim, she still cuts it kind of thing. So this time, Mel, I made sure I said, I really, my wife hates me coming to you. So can you please just trim? Not a haircut. She said, okay. So not bad haircut, right? Not too short, right? Is what she used to do. And I said, in the front, I want you to trim it, cut it short. Because, you know, I'm in an age of not... She said, but, you know, let me see what I can do. And so what she did was, something different is, she left the top layer long. And so I finally got what she was trying to do, is to take the top hair, to bring it down so that it's getting a little fuller. For those of you who have full hair, you don't know what I'm talking about. Because each one hair is a lot. If you have to have surgeries, they charge per hair. So when I see myself in the mirror, I can see that I... But guess what? I can go around telling you I have a full hair, but what? Jen, you don't agree with me. No. Thank you for being honest. CMC, listen up. And I speak for myself too. We can talk about love of God. We can talk about ministry, loving others, and all sorts of things. Guess what? If we're not experiencing in the church ourselves, we're fooling ourselves. Amen? That's why the church doesn't have the impact on the unbeliever. Because you see, the unbeliever says, you're more critical than the world out here. So you're no better. Right? So we need to be. So as we pray this week, the Lord says, you know, it's about ministry, but it's about my own heart too. Right? Here it is. Community, God's answer to loneliness, fatigue, defeat, and despair. In closing, I would like to just share 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. God didn't set up for an angry rejection, but for salvation by our Master, Jesus Christ. He died for us, a death that triggered life. Whether we're awake with the living or sleep with the dead, we're alive with Him. In other words, Jesus died, and because of his death, he brought us, all of us together. And in a matter of fact, Jesus is the hub. Jesus is the center of our community. Amen? I am not. You're not the center of the community. Jesus is the center of our community. And what we're saying is we want Jesus to be center of our CMC. Amen? That is my desire. We're all here because of Jesus, right? There's nothing common between you and me to be here together. It's because of Jesus Christ. And it's because of Jesus Christ. You know what he asked us to do? Look at this text. It continues on to say, so speak encouraging words to another. Build up hope so that you'll be all together in this. No one left out. No one left behind. Amen? Jesus is brought. And then Paul says, I know you're already doing this, so keep on doing it. And I say to you, some of you are doing it. And thank you for being my model for that. But some of us are not doing that. Maybe through this 40 days of prayer, God will speak to our hearts. Because you see, no matter where you are or how old or young you are, God can still use you. And I'm emphatic that Sean had shared a story in his Sabbath school. So Sean, will you share with us how it looks like when we put all these four together?
For about 12, Matthew, how old are you now? 14. For about 14 years, I have known Matthew. For about 40 years, I've known Dr. Gordon Christo. He's the secretary of the Southern Asia Division. For about 3 months, I have known Bill and Nancy Mack. We are a family. And this morning in Sabbath school, actually, we studied Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burden. As a family, we're supposed to do that. I didn't realize that in January I was going to be handed a burden which I was supposed to carry, which we did. Before I get to the little story, I want to ask a few questions of some of my guests here to tie in what I want to say. Bill, tell the church, tell your family what you're going to be doing the next couple of years of your life.
Okay. Yes, good morning then. What we're going to be doing is not what we have been doing. We quit our jobs, and we had pretty good ones, but we're going to be the director and co-director of Adventist Child India, a program run by the Southern Asia Division for getting poor children into Adventist schools. And we're happy to do that, and we're going to probably carry some of this theme forward because two are better than one. We both have different talents, but together we're going to be a good team and make this progress and all.
They gave up their jobs to go to India to serve children. Nancy, why is this so important to you?
I will be the third generation for my family that will be going to India. It was a blessing to be asked. I know Dorothy Watts, who was the one that started the ACI program on 2005. She passed away 2 years ago. And ACI has sort of been not being able to get much going on right now. They started out with 3,500 children, and it's slowly dwindling. We're hoping to stop that and bring it back up. And it generates $1 million annually. $5 million annually. We are going because I feel that the Lord has asked us to go. And we have one thing that's a little different in common with the rest of the people that are going out there, Asian Aid, child care. There's many out there working with children. But the ACI program is for Adventist children. And I really believe that's really important, because if we want to continue our work in India, we have to have kids there to do it. And if we can bring them into our church and teach them about Christ and God's love, they'll be able to continue the work when we no longer can.
These are our children, our family, who needed the help. Bill and Nancy have been asked, and it's working out. God has performed an enormous miracle. I'll get to that in a second. But if it wasn't for their willingness to serve others, over 3,500 children will be out of school. These are our children in our schools in India. Some of them are orphans, some of them are single parent children, and you all know my own passion to that. So God has just opened this up. Now, Dr. Christo is the secretary of the division. Give us a little idea of, if this didn't happen, what would have happened to these kids, really?
We have been, as Nancy said, the number of children has been dwindling because of lack of funds, and donors have not been very happy with the lack of organization. We've been without a director for a couple of years, and donors have been giving funds to other organizations that don't help only Adventist children. So Adventist children suffer. Why this is important to the church is because in Southern Asia Division, we are baptizing a lot of people, hundreds of thousands. The thing is, when you baptize a person, you baptize him just because he agrees to a set of doctrines. He hasn't really changed his life, his worldview, his way of life. That's very hard to change. Imagine if you had to become a Hindu or a Muslim, what that would involve. You know, it's not just believing something different. It's a whole different way of life. It's almost impossible to change in one generation. But they're baptized. They're Adventists. You take their children and put them through an Adventist education, and you've got real Adventists. Somebody told me this some time ago. United we stand, but educated we understand. And you educate a person in an Adventist school, and he grows up a solid Adventist. And we're hoping that these thousands of children will go out, will come from these homes, go through an Adventist education, and become pillars of the church in the future.
And continue to build the family of God. Now, 3 months ago, in Sabbath school, as we've always done, Steve, Namazwe, and all of us who are in our Sabbath school, we've always asked our children, we've encouraged them to speak, tell us their feelings, their ups and downs, their prayer requests. And some of them do, some of them don't. Matthew, come on up here. This is not Matthew's nature, so bear with us. Matthew asked for a prayer request that day. I don't remember, January sometime. He said, there's a family, there's a couple who wants to go to India to serve, and they cannot get a visa. I said, well, Matthew, why don't you ask them to come and talk to us? Maybe we can help them. And that's where I left it. The story is coming. But Matthew, what possessed you, what inspired you to ask that prayer request that day?
I really don't know.
No. You know, he told me that earlier. I was hoping he'd come up with a better answer. But I know what inspired him. He likes Nancy. I know what inspired him to ask that question, because it was a desire in his heart to help, to carry the burden of another, to support his family. Friends, I want to let you know that God worked a miracle in getting Bill and Nancy a visa that was thought of almost impossible to go and serve India. They're not going as missionaries. They're going as administrators, working with the Indian Embassy and friends. We were able to get them a visa. They're leaving on Monday to take over this greater family of our children in India, bring in money from the U.S. to maintain these children and support these children. And I cannot begin to tell you how proud I am of them, but how grateful I am to God for opening this up for us. I asked that as a family, as we support each other, as we think about all these needs in our church, as we develop our own relationships over here, that we do not forget Nancy and Bill and the children in India that they will be serving. And I thank you for the opportunity to let us share this story with you. It's a story that is going to stay with me for a real long time. It's a story of faith on our part. And it's a story of trusting each other and trusting God to do the right thing for us. We're going to ask Dr. Crystal to offer a word of prayer for the church and for Nancy and Bill as they venture out on this new project, and also for the young people in our church who are willing to stand up and talk and share and be witness to the things that God can do. So for any one of you here who is in Matthew's shoes, you're never too young. Never too young. You know, we read stories of David and Samuel. Listen, we have a story right here. Dr. Crystal, would you please ask God's blessing, please?
Let's bow our heads for prayer. Kind and loving Heavenly Father, our hearts are full this evening, this morning. Our hearts are full of praise for you. Our hearts are full of joy. We want to thank you for what has been accomplished. We want to thank you for the burdens that have been shared and cared for. And first of all, I want to thank you for Matthew and for his concern for others that has led to a miracle. And I pray for all the other young people of this church that you will guide them, bless them, impress upon them what they need to do and how to do it. But most of all, give each one a loving and a caring heart. I want to thank you for the Max, for Bill and Nancy, and for their willingness to give up their comfortable life here and to go to India, that hundreds of thousands will learn about you. I pray that you will bless their ministry. I pray that you will give them wisdom, knowledge, and guidance, patience as they deal with children. I pray that you will lead them to those who will help support this program of educating the Adventist children of India. Father, I pray that you will bless this church that has been an instrument of the miracle that you have wrought. I thank you for the message that the pastor has brought this morning. I pray that you will bless each one of us as we take that to heart. And as this church embarks upon 40 days of prayer, I pray that you will make this the burden of each one of us, that we will realize we need each other, that we will be willing to be the one to help others, even as we seek help from others. We pray that we will follow the example of Jesus, who gave his all that others might be blessed. And as we search our hearts in the next few weeks, we pray that you will help us to empty our hearts of all that will be obstacles to your coming in. And as we hold hands together as a church, we pray that you will strengthen us, empower us, that we will be a powerful witness to the community around us and around the world, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Say, that's pretty powerful. How many of you desire to have the experience that Matthew had, to be prodded, maybe not even knowing why, but to do something, to be a piece of a puzzle? And you may very well be a unique, in fact, you are a unique piece of a puzzle that in God's hands can create an incredible picture. Will you be? Are you willing to be? I think 40 days of prayer is about a lot more than just us praying to God. It's preparing ourselves to hear what He has to say back in response to us. As the deacons work their way forward, we have an opportunity to give back to God just a portion of what He gives us. Maybe our prayer needs to be not just about our gift and what we can give, and it's not just money, it's really more time, our commitment, and our heart. But it's more prayer about how we would want God to use that gift in the best way that He sees fit. Let's bow our heads as we offer this to God. Father, we ask that You receive our humble offerings, and we ask that You multiply them in powerful ways, in meaningful ways that change lives. This is our prayer for our own lives in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand for our closing prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank You for blessing us with Your presence. Thank You for speaking to us. Thank You for accepting us and loving us. And Lord, as we leave this place, I pray that we will build each other up as a church family, that You will help us to see that we're in need of You in our life, in the life of our church. May You fill all of us with Your Spirit. In Your precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated, please.